chapter 5. Chapter is Narada's instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam. Text 18. Tasyaiva heto prayate da kovido. Nalabhate yad brahmatam uparidaha. Talabhyate du kavat anyatakshukam. Kalena sarvatra gabira ramhasa. Tasya, for that purpose, eva, only, heto, reason, prayateta, should endeavor, kovidaha, one who is philosophically inclined, na, not, labhyate, is not ordained, yet, what, ramatam, wandering, upari adha, from top to bottom, tat, that, labhyate, can be obtained, dukkha vayat, like the miseries, anyataha, as a result of previous work, sukham, sense enjoyment, kalina, in course of time, sarvatra, everywhere, gabira, subtle, ramhasa, progress. Translation, purport, Srila Prabhupada. Persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should endeavor only for that purposeful end which is not attainable even by wandering from the topmost planet, Brahmaloka, down to the lowest planet, Patalaloka. As far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it can be obtained automatically in course of time, just as in course of time we obtain miseries, even though we do not desire them. Purport. Every man, everywhere, is trying to obtain the greatest amount of sense enjoyment by various endeavors. Some men are busy, engaged in trade, industry, economic development, political supremacy, etc. And some of them are engaged in fruitive work to become happy in the next life by attaining higher planets. It is said that on the moon, inhabitants are fit for greater sense enjoyment by drinking soma ras. And the pitri is obtained by good charitable work. So there are various programs for sense enjoyment, either during this life or in the life after death. Some are trying to reach the moon or other planets by some mechanical arrangement, for they're very anxious to get into such planets without doing good work. But it is not to happen. By the law of the Supreme, different places are meant for different grades of living beings according to the work they perform. By good work only, as prescribed in the scriptures, one can obtain birth in a good family, opulence, good education, and good bodily features. We see also that even in this life, one obtains a good education or money by good work. Similarly, in our next birth, we get such desirable positions only by good work. Otherwise, it would not so happen that two persons born in the same place at the same time are seen differently placed according to previous work. But all such material positions are impermanent. The positions in the topmost Brahmaloka and in the lowest Patala are also changeable according to our own work. The philosophically inclined person must not be tempted by such changeable positions. He should try to get into the permanent life of bliss and knowledge, where he will not be forced to come back again to the miserable material world, either in this or that planet. Miseries and mixed happiness are two features of material life, and they are obtained in Brahmaloka and in other lokas also. They are obtained in the life of the demigods and also in the life of the dogs and hogs. The miseries and mixed happiness of all living beings are only of different degree and quality. But no one is free from the miseries of birth, death, old age, and disease. Similarly, everyone has his destined happiness also. No one can get more or less of these things simply by personal endeavors. Even if they are obtained, they can be lost again. One should not, therefore, waste time with these flimsy things. One should only endeavor to go back to Godhead. That should be the mission of everyone's life. Hare Krishna. The temple is missing all the devotees terribly. Very quiet around here. You have to chant louder from 5 to 5:15 so we can hear you way over here. So this is a wonderful purport and verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, encouraging us to go forward with our mission and becoming Krishna conscious this lifetime. It's actually describing a lot about work. And some of you are now home from work, but you find that still there's work around the house to do, there's work with your relationships with your family, maybe you've not been able to take care of. There's all kinds of work online, there's still work. Everyone has to work. Krishna confirms this in the Bhagavad Gita. He says even he's working to show the example that everyone must work. Most of us, as mentioned here, are working for simply survival and for the promised happiness in the material world. So there is always some work, but does it really balance out for all those that have been working for so long and wishing they didn't have to work? Now they're home and wondering, am I really raking in all that happiness now sitting at home? So we work so hard, is it really balanced? Is that happiness and the work that is required to get that happiness really balanced? And what is the quality of that happiness? What is the value? And of course that's very questionable. Here it's mentioned happiness so many times in this purport. And it's describing that the miseries are there and the happiness is there. But it doesn't say happiness alone, it says mixed happiness. It doesn't talk about any pure, absolute happiness. It's always going to be mixed. It's not going to be the happiness that our hearts and our souls are really wanting. So one has to see that what is the real purpose in life? Is this work for happiness really the ultimate goal? And is it going to give us that satisfaction? In the purport, it's describing a lot about this work and karma and destiny. Karma and destiny we can equate together. So, yes, we will get some happiness and we will get some misery. Some of us, we see that they work so hard and they get very little happiness. And then others work barely at all, and so much happiness, so-called happiness is there. So really, who has this last say in what's going on here? It seems like it's not myself, and it's not you either. But Krishna has a lot to say about work and happiness in the Bhagavad Gita, many chapters, especially second, third chapters, all about karma yoga, and all the different kinds of work. And he recommends ultimately in the Bhagavad Gita, after discussing all the different kinds of work, he recommends just work for me. And add some devotion in there, pour a little devotion, sprinkle some real bhakti on there, and you will achieve the greatest benefit in this lifetime and the next lifetime. So again and again, he's saying that just offer everything to me, whatever you have, especially your heart. Offer this to me, and I will bring you home. Now in the purport, Srila Prabhupada talks a lot about the diversions that can misdirect us away from this ultimate goal of being with Krishna. And he has one word in particular that I really love that he uses, and it's that word, flimsy. He says, don't, he warns us, don't go after these flimsy things. And the stores and the advertising is all about these flimsy things, these gadgets and these gadgets that are supposed to give you some temporary pleasure. And we can see how flimsy just this body is. You know, one little teeny little microbe goes up your nose, and before you know it, you know, the whole world is now experiencing disease condition. The whole world is shutting down just because of one little bug going up your nose. So very flimsy, but it's very nicely described in by Govinda Das in a wonderful bhajan, Bhaja Hare Mana. And it's a prayer to the mind, actually. And it's discussing some of these miseries in detail. But he concludes in this way. He says, what assurance of real happiness is there in all of one's wealth, youthfulness, sons, and family members? This life is tottering like a drop of water on a lotus petal. Therefore, you should always serve and worship the divine feet of Lord Hari. It is the desire and great longing of Govinda Das to engage himself in the nine processes of bhakti, namely hearing the glories of Lord Hari and chanting those glories, constantly remembering him and offering prayers to him, serving the lotus feet, serving the Supreme Lord as a servant, serving him as a friend, and completely offering the Lord's one very self. So there is no real assurance of real happiness. There's no insurance you can get, and there's no assurance of it. And Krishna again and again tells us, and we're being warned here, not to go after these flimsy things. So there is a choice that we all have of taking these flimsy things, or some people might think, I'm a little bit more intelligent. I'm not going to go after these temporary things right here and now, but I'm going to do good. I'm going to work in a way that I will next time get some better things. I'm going to go see those pearly gates of heaven, and I'm going to enter there, and then I will really enjoy. So this is a temptation for a better residence, a better situation. But it also is very temporary. And it's just a longer detour. That's all it is. It just means I'm going to have to be within the material world, even though it might be a heavenly situation, for a much, much longer time. So it's actually not a good deal. So we're warned here not to go after even the moon planet and so many different promises of a better situation. We have to remember that actually we're entitled to a spiritual inheritance that's going to be the best thing we can invest in. That's our greatest assurance. Our spiritual inheritance is that we can have the greatest happiness. So to get that inheritance, just like any inheritance, you have to stay alive. So we have to stay spiritually alive. That means we have to be totally connected to Krishna. We have to stay connected, otherwise we're not going to break in our inheritance. We'll end up back here again in the place with all the miseries and the so-called happiness. So this is where our endeavor should be. This is where our mission should be directed, as this purport is saying in the last line, that should be the mission of everyone's life, that I'm going to go for the highest goal, and that is to achieve some real eternal association with the Supreme Lord. So of course this requires a lot of strengthening of our intelligence philosophically, because otherwise Maya has her own philosophy of you know, eat, drink, and marry, and be merry. And we have to keep a very firm faith that this process that we're engaged in, that Prabhupada has given us, will reap in that the results of spiritual realization. So it's really our spiritual duty to keep very strong Krishna consciousness. And to realize that our real duty is to please Krishna. I was hearing a class the other day, and Prabhupada was mentioning about this duty, that even materially, that a couple will have children, thinking that, okay, this is going to bring happiness, we'll raise this child, and they'll be happy, and we'll be happy. So this is what they're thinking. And Krishna also, Prabhupada said that Krishna also had this intention, that I'm going to expand into all these living entities for my happiness. So just as a child in the material world is responsible to make their parents happy, we can't disappoint Krishna. Our real position, our real duty is to make Krishna happy. And so therefore, this procedure of the science of bhakti, as described in Nectar Devotion so nicely by the Goswamis, and so nicely arranged here in the material world by Srila Prabhupada, is this science is there. It's available for everyone to take part in, to learn how they can please Krishna. But of course, it's very easy to forget if we aren't constantly reminding ourselves of this position. Just a couple of weeks ago, you know, some of us, maybe a lot of us, were thinking that everything's going pretty good. I've got my inheritance in place now. I've got my family's very comfortable. I've got my little nest egg in case something goes wrong. I've got grandkids that are giving me some pleasure. I've got plenty of food in the pantry. I've even got toilet paper. I've got everything to make my life perfect. But now, 2 weeks later, tables are totally turned. My sister, who's very well off, called me up and said, "So, you know, discussing the financial situation and looking very bleak. You need money. I'm trying to figure out what to do. Instability, fear, health is in question. Crisis. What about the future? There's going to be a recession. This is going to happen. That." Completely, tables are turned. And now we're simply, you know, counting our pennies, hoping that we can survive. So, yes, tottering like a little drop of water on the lotus leaf. And if you want to actually see that happen, come over and visit the little pond at the Eco Farm, you'll see that, because the lotus pods are really big right now. And after yesterday's rain, there's probably a few little drops on there rolling around. So this is, this crisis is a horrible thing, but it's been an impetus to start making some giant steps in our Krishna consciousness process towards this goal of reaching Krishna. You know, many people are, Srila Prabhupada has said that many of the devotees that have come here, many people, Prabhupada said, that have come to this movement, especially this recent generation, have come to devotional service by past pious deeds. Although he's, for many of us, the first generation, it was just totally Krishna's mercy and Prabhupada's mercy. But for many, it's from past baby steps that we've been making, doing a little bit of service, maybe consciously or unconsciously, you know, creeping forward on the path of spiritual life. So now we should have an impetus to start making some giant steps. Although many of us think that, you know, especially the younger generation think, well, I have a good 80 years to, you know, speed up the process later and really get into it. Right now, I've got other things in my plan book, on my phone book, I guess these days, on my phone. But to tell you the truth, we don't know how much time we have. And in the first 25 years, we kind of just chug along. I have so many things to do. It seems like, when am I ever going to grow up? You know, I want to grow up, I want to be a big guy. And then you hit 25, and from 25 to 40, it seems like someone pushed on the gas pedal. You know, whew, boy, I'm already, you know, getting some gray hairs. And then when you hit, you know, up to 65, you just, you know, where did that year go? My gosh, now that we're this year, what happened to that month? And then from then on, it's like, you know, supersonic, you know, someone floored it. And you wonder, how many days do I have left? So we have to speed up our devotional service and our sincerity and the intention of our devotional service. And we have to raise up our hands. And we have to shake off all these material desires that might still be lingering. And then when we get them out of our hands, then Krishna will put his hand and grab our hands. So this is what's necessary. We need to really shake our hands in the air and realize that these flimsy things are not worth holding on to. There's a very nice prayer that expresses this. I believe it's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, well, mentioned, but it's by Prabodhananda Swami. Oh my heart, please turn from great things of this world and run to Vrindavan, where the great treasure, the nectar flood that delivers the devotees from this world, is Sri Radha's name. I'll read it again, it was so nice. Oh my heart, please turn from great things of this world and run to Vrindavan, where the great treasure, the nectar flood that delivers the devotees from this world, is Sri Radha's name. So our shelter, as we've heard again and again, and as expressed by all the great acharyas and self-realized souls, our only shelter is really the holy names that will purge our natural desire to really serve and love Krishna. Even in this chanting process, we have to, you know, be careful of our intent and make sure that it's not just for relief from material distress, but it's really an earnest prayer of asking Krishna to allow us to please him in this lifetime, however we can, and to begging him to always be the servant of the servant, of the servant, and especially the servant of the holy name. Regardless of what our position is, the holy name can deliver us. There's a nice expression of this kind of attitude by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his song, Manasa Deha Geha. I'll read just a couple of verses. Especially in this purport, it's describing a lot about Brahmaloka, how people want to go there. But this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays. If it is your will that I be born again, then may it be home. May it be in the home of your devotee. Let me be born again even as a worm, as long as I may remain your devotee. I have no desire to be born as a Brahma, averse to you. I yearn for the company of that devotee who is completely devoid of all desire for worldly enjoyment or liberation. Father, mother, lover, son, lord, preceptor, and husband, you are everything to me. Thakur Bhaktivinoda says, O Khan, please hear me. O Lord of Radha, you are my life and soul. So this is the yearnings of that soul who has realized that these flimsy things, that's not the real purpose in my life. But the real purpose is to stay in Krishna's view. So to stay in Krishna's view, sometimes you need to really wave your arms in the air. Here I am, over here. Nanda said some nice things yesterday about making claims that, here, take me, please take me. and Krishna is not interested in taking those who have a flimsy relationship with him. So we have to be careful that our relationship becomes very tight. And Krishna is actually looking for commitment, a relationship of commitment. which is of great value, and even materially, to be committed. So we have to be so committed, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says here, that everything is yours. I belong to you, and you are my only shelter, my only goal, my only business is with you. So this is what we practice. Prabhupada is letting us practice. So Krishna's looking for those committed persons. That means that first of all we have to surrender, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. First show me that you're committed. First commit yourself to a spiritual master. Take those vows that yes, this is the process I'm going to take up wholeheartedly. So this is our first commitment that is a prerequisite stated by Lord Krishna himself. So get serious. Commit yourself to your spiritual master, to Krishna. And that means, of course, hearing submissively and following all their instructions. Most important. And then, not only submit, but also show. Demonstrate your commitment by your service. Your service and dedication, low water and high water, doesn't matter what the circumstances are. Show by service. And also, you can show by your attitude in your service. Make it a favorable attitude. An unconditional attitude of service. I know that recently there's been some requests that don't come here and serve, and it actually you can see how attached you are to service, that your attitude now is, please let me come to the temple and serve. So that's healthy. Maybe it'll increase that commitment. And of course, in that service, one must be humble and be very grateful, as we see that we're becoming more and more grateful for that permission to actually serve the Lord. And it's not a small thing. It's actually a great benediction that we have to do whatever little tiny bit of service we can to please Krishna. And of course, we can recommit ourselves all the time, and we can do that by reading all Srila Prabhupada's books and following his instructions. And now that we have a little bit more time on ourselves and our hands to work more spiritually rather than materially, we can work on our japa, clean up our japa, clean up our spare time, and fill it with Krishna consciousness. There is so much work to do, just like here it says that one should endeavor to go back to Godhead. So this endeavor must be there, not only in material life, but in spiritual life. And of course, we will achieve the greatest thing in return. So there's a very nice song that summarizes this verse. Let me read it. Anyway, here it is. This is in a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Ms. Gitavali, Arunodaya Kirtan. And the last couple of verses are very, very nice. You have achieved the rare human body. Don't you care for this gift? If you do not worship the darling of Mother Yasoda now, great sorrow awaits you at the time of your death. With every rising and setting of the sun, a day passes and is lost. When then do you remain idle and not serve the Lord of the heart? You should understand this essential fact. Life is temporary and filled with various kinds of miseries. Therefore, carefully take shelter of the holy name and remain always engaged in his service as your eternal occupation. desiring to bless all living entities, the sweet name of Krishna has descended to this material universe and shines like the sun in the sky of the heart, destroying the darkness of ignorance. So this is our program. It gives us great relief, just like that rain last night. I don't know if you all experienced it, but it was such a great relief. And so in the same way, we should be experiencing the holy name as a relief from all the miseries. We should be experiencing our service as a relief from all the miseries. And it should be, and the gradual sun of loving Krishna should be rising in the heart. So this is our process. It's a joyful process. It's not difficult. Anyone can take part. And we should be very grateful that we have it as our shelter, especially in times of crisis like this. So this is a few things I thought about with the verse. If anyone has any questions, or you can do whatever you need to do to transfer them over here. If not, I encourage you all to take advantage of your time and endeavor very deeply spiritually. Thank you. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. And thank all the devotees. No questions. Okay, so everyone should go about their service and their service to the holy name. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Question, those who are listening online, if you have question, you can text me at 352-221-0041 or YouTube live chat room. Yeah.